Well, good morning, Crawford Baptist Church. He is risen. Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ, who came and lived a sinless life on this earth and then was betrayed by one of his own and then went through a court proceeding, which was really a mockery of justice, then turned over to the hands of the Romans and was interrogated and then flogged or scourged, as we call it. Then crucified on Mount Calvary, buried in a borrowed tomb. It is on this day, this first day of the week, what we now call Easter Sunday, that we celebrate the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ over sin, death, and the grave. Hallelujah. He is alive. And on this Easter Sunday morning, I want to encourage you to gather your family around with you. We want the little ones and the teenagers and the college students and the adults and the singles and everybody there in your home. We'd encourage you to grab everybody there that you can and get together and find a Bible. And as we like to say here at Crawford Baptist Church, if you have a Bible, and I hope you do, if you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 28 today. Matthew chapter 28. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 10 this morning. Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. And if you have found it, say, "I got it." All right, I heard some "I got it." So we're going to go with it, all right? Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10 this morning. And the word of the Lord says this in Matthew 28, verse 1. "Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you.' So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, 'Greetings.' And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.'" May God bless the reading of his word on this Easter Sunday morning. And this morning, I want to encourage you, if you would, to take a moment, and we want to bow our heads and close our eyes and go to our Lord in prayer. Our Father and our God, today we celebrate, we rejoice, we thank you, Father, today that this day that we call Easter Sunday, Lord, it's a day of ultimate triumph. It's a day of ultimate victory. It's a day that gives us hope in the midst of this coronavirus pandemic, as we see thousands of people around our world dying from this one disease and then others dying from many other diseases and causes. And we see, Lord, oftentimes corruption, and we see evil, and we see things which are so distressing and alarming and discouraging. And Father, it is this day, the day that we acknowledge the resurrection of our dead Savior back to life for all eternity. Lord, it is this day that gives us hope. It is this day that sets Christianity apart from every other religion that is on planet Earth. Lord, every ism that ought to be a wasm, as R.G. Lee used to say, Lord, is distinguished from Christianity because God, when the fullness of time had come, you did send forth your Son as had been prophesied through the Holy Scripture. And when that fullness of time had come, God, you sent forth your Son, born of a woman, the Virgin Mary. He was born under the law, Father. He kept all of your law, whereas we all fail in keeping your law. Lord, he had an active obedience where he kept perfectly your law, which pleased you. And Lord, it also enabled him to die in our place on Calvary's cross, that our sins could be forgiven. And on this day, Father, we worship you and we praise you and we bless you and we thank you that our Savior, Jesus Christ, Lord, died for our sins. He absorbed every drop of wrath that is righteously ours to experience for eternity. And so now, Lord, your word says there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We have been adopted into your family, Father, because of the sacrifice and the gift of Jesus Christ on our behalf. And so, Father, today, this Easter Sunday, we worship you. Father, I pray that you will help us as we gather in our homes with our children, with our teenagers, and with those that are around and about. I pray, Father, that you would help us to dedicate this time to your worship, that we would intentionally set our mind's attention and our heart's affection upon you, the one true God, and upon the work that you have accomplished in and through the person of Jesus Christ. Oh God, be glorified today. And Father, today we do pray as a faith family. We pray, Father, today for those that are sick. We pray for those who have lost loved ones, oh God, that you will grant them comfort in Christ. Father, we pray for our health care workers that, Lord, work tirelessly in very dangerous situations and circumstances these days to, Lord, better provide for our health and well-being and to fight this invisible enemy, as our president has called it, Lord, the coronavirus. Oh God, be with the nurses and the doctors and the staff and the technicians, those who are on the front lines, the paramedics, Lord, the firemen, the police officers. We thank you for those who serve us in our stores as we go to purchase the things that we need during this pandemic. Lord, there are many who are deemed essential. And Lord, they go and they work. And we thank you for them. And we ask you to bless and strengthen them and all that they engage in. And Father, on this Easter Sunday morning, I pray that as our members watch and worship through this video, and others perhaps will tune in and catch us providentially, and they can hear a message of hope in a world where there is no true hope. Father, I pray that today the Holy Spirit of God would open eyes and draw people to Jesus Christ. And I pray, God, that you would save multitudes of people this Easter Sunday as people who normally may not even turn their attention toward you, O Lord. Today they stop and they are, if you will, religious for the day. But God, I pray they would experience more than religion. I pray they'd experience a relationship with you, Father, through faith in Jesus Christ. And so, Father, this morning we pray that you would save. We pray that you would strengthen, that you would heal, that you would bless, Lord, our families and our people. Father, we pray for our nation today. We pray for our president and our vice president. And Lord, we pray for those in leadership trying to, our governors and our mayors of our communities. We pray, oh God, for them. Lord, grant them wisdom during these trying days. And Father, we do mention our people group of the day today. Father, the Brahmin Tamil people who live in India. And Father, they're there are 501,000 of these Brahmin Tamil people, one of the highest castes in India. Lord, people who are very proud of their Hindu religion and, Lord, the status that they have because they were born into that caste system. Father, I pray, God, that you would send in Hindu believers and missionaries and Christian literature and over the internet may be able to impact these who are so lost in spiritual darkness and who need Jesus Christ. Father, there is not one Christian among all of the 501,000 Brahmin Tamil people. Oh God, would you please, Lord, have mercy upon this people group and save people there. And Father, this morning as we endeavor to preach now your word, as we celebrate Easter together here at Crawford Baptist Church, Father, I know that I do not have what is needed. Father, no preacher does. And so, Father, this morning I come to you with uplifted hands that are empty. And I pray that you would fill them, Lord. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would abide in me. Help me abide in you that, Lord, I might bear much fruit for the glory of God. And Holy Spirit of God, today, I need your anointing. I need your power. And I pray, oh God, that you will grant that now as I stand to proclaim the glorious riches of Christ. In his beautiful name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, again, happy Easter, everyone, and I pray that you are doing well in your home. And this morning, again, if you have your Bible in Matthew chapter 28, we are going to work together now. And I've entitled the Easter message today, The Resurrection of Jesus and You. The Resurrection of Jesus and You. You know, the importance, the magnitude, and the impact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ cannot be overstated. It is without a doubt the single greatest turning point in the history of the world. As Dr. D.A. Carson has beautifully said and written in different publications, that the entire Bible pivots on one weekend in Jerusalem about 2,000 years ago. And even the most ardent skeptic, the most determined skeptic, must admit that there has never been a life that has left such life-changing impact as Jesus Christ. And so perhaps you find yourself, this is Easter, it's a religious day as we acknowledge it around the world, and you have found this video providentially, and you do not believe, you are a skeptic, you doubt the reality of Jesus and the reality of what we call Christianity. May I say to you, if I'm on the outside looking in, and I'm hearing all these facts about Jesus Christ and the impact of this one life, as a skeptic, I would have to ask, why? Why? I mean, how has he changed the entire world so much? How is it that 2,000 years later, across the ocean from the Middle East, there are people who are still being saved and transformed by Jesus Christ? I mean, how is this even possible? I mean, why didn't this thing die out like 1,950 years ago? How can this event, which took place in history, continue to impact and transform people, not for the worse, but for the better today, 2,000 years later? You know, if I'm on the outside of Christianity, kind of looking in, I'm at least going to take the time to ask these questions before I die. Because we must remember that the death rate is one death for one person. And so reality tells us there's going to come a day that will be our day, and we too will die. Before I die, wisdom would have me ask, what is up with this man called Jesus? I mean, why are there over 2 billion people today on this earth that are in some way celebrating his resurrection from the dead? Why is that? I mean, wisdom would lead an honest skeptic to study the data, the history, look to the Bible, seek to understand what we can know about this man called Jesus Christ. You see, one of the big problems with our society is we're the all-time world champion at what I call navel gazing. Have you heard that term lately? Navel gazing. Navel gazing is the self-indulgent or excessive contemplation of oneself at the expense of everything else. Our society is so self-obsessed, so living for the pleasure of the moment. That's where we find ourselves. It's all about me. Make it about me. Meet my needs now. I want to be happy now. Even in the midst of this pandemic, we are finding out that we have to have patience. And we can't find necessarily the brand of toilet paper that we've been used to for all these years and have stockpiled in the past. You see, this world, in essence, is way much bigger than you or me. But in our lifestyle of ease in our country, we have come to believe that it all revolves around me. My entertainment, my pleasure, my work, even my church. Everything has to be exactly the way that I feel it should be. See, everything is centered around me. I'm the center of my universe. That's the essence of navel gazing as it's defined, and we are world leaders at navel gazing. But this morning, I want us to consider for a few moments together on this Easter Sunday as we study God's Word together in Matthew chapter 28. I want us to think about something, or even better, someone who is way bigger than we are. And so, you know, there are people dying today, and the single greatest passion of their life was their sports team. It was their physical appearance and how they looked every time they left their home. It was perhaps a certain score or record on a video game played with people we never see, but online we play and strive to win the highest score on a video game. It could be the accumulating of money, and that has been what has driven you and me in our lives. A passion for our sports team, our physical appearance, our supposed physical health, our power, our money, our influence. All of these things have been tremendous passions in the lives of many in our world today. And yet this pandemic again helps us begin to cut through the fog and the mystery of all of these things. And we can see how false they really are. And it helps us to refocus on what is true. And I can tell you this. You are created in the image of God. And you have a body and you have a soul. and your soul will continue to exist once this universe has stopped to exist. Once it has stopped existing, your soul will still be fully alive in either heaven or hell. And also the Bible teaches this beautiful truth that there's going to be a resurrection of your body. It'll be a resurrection body that will never die and never perish. And you, your resurrection body and your soul will spend either heaven, eternity in either heaven or hell. One or the other. This is what the Bible teaches. And I want to have us look and consider for a few moments this morning. I want us to ask the question, is there something or someone bigger than me in this world? And you need to answer that question honestly today. Because you and those whom you love will be most affected by how you honestly answer this question. Is there something or someone bigger than me in this world? Is there a greater purpose beyond my temporal happiness? Is there something I'm to live for other than what I think is best? Those are existential, very significant, very important questions. And in the midst of this pandemic, when we've all had to slow down, unless you're in one of those essential employee situations, especially our medical community. And even as they stare death in the face day after day, even they too think and ponder and wonder about these essential questions. I want us to get a biblical perspective this Easter. Because I want to tell you, the resurrection of Jesus Christ does impact you, whether you acknowledge that or not. You have your Bible. Look with me back to Matthew chapter 28. We've read our text, the first 10 verses, and now we want to walk through this passage together. Matthew chapter 28. Notice in verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, that would be Sunday, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the resurrected Jesus. Now, is that what your Bible says? Look there in Matthew 28, verse 1. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the what? What were they going to see? Right, they were going to see a tomb. You see, number one this morning, as we think about this passage, there was an expectation of death. There was an expectation of death here. These devout women went to see the tomb. They went to see the grave. They had been present at Jesus' crucifixion. We're told that in Matthew 27, verse 56. And they had followed to the tomb to see where they had buried Jesus in Matthew 27, verse 61. Now, on the first day of the week, Sunday, they are heading back to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body properly for his burial. You see, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, they're heading out early this Sunday morning as the sun begins to come up and the light begins to shine on that day. They're heading to a gravesite, not to a resurrection party. That's important to notice in the text. And something I've often thought about myself is this, you know, what was Friday night and Saturday like for the disciples of Jesus? Have you ever thought about that for a moment? Just stopped and meditated upon Scripture and said, you know, they had been walking with Jesus, and then of course came the crucifixion that Friday, and he was taken down a little after 3 and quickly buried. Before the Sabbath day began that evening at sundown on Friday for the Jewish people. Have you ever wondered how they must have felt that Friday night and that Saturday? I mean, think about it. These disciples had seen Jesus command the wind and the waves, and they obeyed him. These disciples had witnessed Jesus heal the sick demonstrate sovereign power over demons, raise the dead back to life. He was able to debate with the religious leaders, the scholars of Israel in his day, and he had never been stumped one time. What an amazing rabbi Jesus had been, and what confidence they must have had. I mean, on Palm Sunday, Jesus comes riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, and they're thinking, the kingdom is coming. The kingdom he's been preaching about now for three and a half years. It's finally coming. The kingdom of God is coming, and we're walking in, and our Messiah is riding on the donkey. They had to have been thinking, we're on the winning team. We struggled a bit, didn't have a place to sleep or live really for 3.5 years following our rabbi. But I mean now, he's riding in on the donkey, fulfilling scripture, and everybody is shouting, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, this is it. We are on the winning team with Jesus. But 4 days later, after that Palm Sunday, 4 days later, Jesus is arrested. He's tortured, scourged, beaten beyond the point of being able to visually recognize who that individual man was. He was crucified. He was dead. And bury. And in these disciples' minds, it had to be, it's like, what? What happened? What went wrong? He commanded the wind and the waves, and he raised people who were dead back to life, and he healed leprosy and restored blind eyes, and those who couldn't speak could then speak, and those who were controlled by evil, wicked, demonic spirits were set free and saved. And what has happened? I think there's a life-changing truth here we can find right in the middle of our message this morning. The life-changing truth would be this: when we are at our worst, God is still at His best. Amen? When we are at our worst, God is still at His best. And when we think all hope is lost, God is just getting started. Amen? And right now, in our own circumstances today, we look at things. We look at our grocery stores. We've been out of work now, many people, for weeks. We're waiting on checks from the government to come and help supplement our income and help out small businesses. And yet, they have not arrived for many, many, many people. And we're sitting here thinking, okay, things are hopeless. We are lost. All hope is lost. May I say to you, God is sovereignly at work, and God is just getting started in accomplishing what He desires to accomplish in and through you and your family and your life and your business, and it's His plan that He had set in place from eternity. You see, this day, that Sunday, began in the depths of despair, and it ended up being the greatest day ever. Think about the roller coaster of emotion. The worst day ever to the best day they had ever experienced. This morning, are you discouraged? Feeling defeated, or you're anxious, you're worried, you're nervous, you're panicky? Seen just this week people being honest, and we always say around here, it always pays to tell the truth. Learned that lesson from watching that Andy Griffin episodes. It's certainly a biblical truth. Always pays to tell the truth. we like to say around here at Crawford Baptist Church, and many of you will know what I'm going to say before I say it. It's okay not to be okay. It's just not okay to stay that way. These disciples were not okay. But you see, God came in and changed the day for them. And brothers and sisters, our God is faithful to His Word, and He is faithful to you and to me. And what He has promised in His Word will come to pass. And so we see, you may be discouraged, you may feel defeated, you may feel anxious and worried. Oftentimes, listen, we live as if Saturday is all there is, but brothers and sisters, Sunday's a coming. Amen? I mean, oftentimes in our own Christian lives, we get so low and so discouraged and so depressed. We feel like Saturday's all it is. We had the high hopes and we had the big dreams. We had our faith in Jesus. And now the bottom's fallen out. In my family, in my marriage, with my children, with my business, with my health, with my nation, with the whole world. The bottom's fallen out right now. And you and I are stuck on Saturday and we forget that Sunday's coming. When we will go from the depths of despair into the joy of exhilaration, seeing the victory that Jesus has for us. Many people walk through life and their only expectation is death. They live, they travel, they make money, and they die. The Easter story offers hope to one who is stuck in that particular worldview. There is hope for you, brothers and sisters, and those of you who are tuning in providentially from all over the place, and you hear this message, listen to me. These women went to the tomb in Matthew 28:1 with an expectation of death. Their hearts were in despair. But God had something to reveal to them. I want you to now notice in Matthew 28 verse 2. And the Bible says, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards, the Roman guards, trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified.'" I know you seek Jesus who was crucified. You see, number one, there was an expectation of death. That's hopelessness. But I want you to see number two this morning with me, this truth. There was the shock of glory. There was the shock of glory. And truthfully, as Vance Havner said many, many years ago, great evangelist here in America, you know, too many of us yell like Comanche Indians at the ball game on Saturday, and we sit in church like wooden Indians on Sunday. I'm telling you, there are many of us who need that shock of the glory of God today to reinvigorate our faith or to lead us to true saving faith in the first place. You see, they expected a death. They expected a grave. Their despair, though, in a matter of a second, turned into fear. These ladies heading to the tomb, walking in the dark, probably tears coming down their faces. And then they experience all of a sudden an earthquake. The ground is shaking beneath them. And then they get to the tomb and they see an angel. And these women, I will tell you, were terrified. But God was shocking the world with His glory. God was shocking the world with His glory. Why the earthquake? Many scholars say it signals the victory of Jesus Christ. And the angel descended from heaven. You see, human obstacles, y'all, are a joke to God. The stone in place with the Roman seal of authority on that stone. The Roman guards placed at the tomb. You have man versus God. And listen, God wins every time. God is not going to be thwarted or defeated by those whom He has created. He is the eternal Creator God, and we are His creation. And so, you see, the obstacles that we put in place against God are a joke to God. Psalm 2 says He sits and laughs at those who oppose Him. It is a foolish venture to oppose God. You see, God shocks us with His glory because then we are ready to hear the message of life. We stop navel-gazing and look up and realize that life is not really all about us, and life is bigger than us. You see, there was an expectation of death. There was the shock of glory. These ladies in the early morning hours, as there's still partial darkness, and yet as the sun is beginning to rise and there is little light available, they are shocked by the glory of God bringing good news to this world. I want you to see in verses 6 and 7. Notice in verse 6, the angel continues speaking to the ladies, and the angel says, "He's not here." Amen? That's good news. If He were there, I wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be tuned in to hear this sermon today. There would be no Christianity at all today. But the angel says, "He is not here, for He has risen." And that's awesome. He's not here, the text says, "for He has risen." That is an awesome text, beloved. But that's not even all the good stuff in there. "As He said." You see, Jesus four times to His disciples in the Gospels, as you read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, on four specific occasions, Jesus has said to them that the Son of Man is going to Jerusalem and He will be betrayed and beaten and crucified. And then on the third day, He will be raised back to life. What truth we find in Matthew 28 and verse 6. "He is not here. The tomb was empty. For He is risen." That's why it's empty. "As He said." And then on top of that, the angel said, "Hey, come on in. You can see where He used to lay." The Bible says, "Come, see the place where He lay." You see, this Jesus who had been crucified and killed was no longer there. Verse 7, then the angel says to the women, "You go quickly and tell His disciples that He has risen from the dead, and behold, He is going before you to Galilee, and there you will see Him. See, I have told you." As Jesus has spoken truth, the angel says, "I speak truth as well, because I represent Him. I am a servant of the living God." And so, point number one, there is an expectation of death, hopelessness. And then point number two, there was the shock of glory. There was the earthquake. There was the stone rolled away. There was the angel telling the women, "Do not fear. Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified." And then number three, there was the message of life. The message of life. And this is the essence of Christianity. Pure and simple. There is the message of life in verses 6 and 7. The hearts of these two women were racing, as I would describe them. They could not believe. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. This statement forever changed the world, beloved. And what is the theology behind this statement? He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. There is some theology that underlies that statement from the angel. Number one, Jesus Christ lived a sinless life, and he died as our sacrifice. He lived a perfectly righteous, sinless life, and he died as our sacrifice. Number two, Jesus Christ died for our sins. Jesus died for us because we could not pay the penalty ourselves. He was our substitute on the cross in our place. Jesus Christ was raised from death back to life. That's number three. Jesus Christ was raised from death back to life. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ guarantees some things for those of us who repent of our sins and believe in what Jesus Christ has done on the cross for fallen sinners like you and like me. The resurrection means that the payment for our sin has been paid in full. Amen? The payment for our sin debt has been paid in full. Number two, it means that Jesus Christ was victorious over death. Death could not hold him down. Praise God. Jesus Christ was victorious over death. Number three, sin, Satan, and death have been forever defeated. Sin, Satan, and death have been forever defeated because of what God was doing in and through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Number four, the resurrection of Jesus means that our forgiveness and justification is a done deal. It means that our justification and our forgiveness are settled by God in heaven. Jesus' death fully paid for our sin. We are justified, declared righteous before God, fully forgiven by our Heavenly Father. It also means, number five, the resurrection of Jesus, number five, means that we are now reigning with God in Christ Jesus. We are reigning with God in this life in Christ Jesus. And number six, the resurrection of Jesus' body from the grave guarantees that there's coming a day when we will have also a resurrection body that will never hurt, suffer, grow old, or have one pain at all. Our resurrection body is guaranteed because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, there was this message of life. He's not here, for he has risen as he said. Now, you go tell his disciples to meet him in Galilee, for you're going to see him there just as I have told you. Then the final point for our Easter message today. Verses 8 through 10. Notice verses 8 through 10. Matthew 28, verses 8 through 10. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Here's our fourth truth this morning, if you're taking notes. Truth number four. Number four, there was the joy of life changing. There was the joy of life changing purpose-finding, death-defeating, fear-decimating, love-infusing worship. I know that's a long one. We're a little Piper-esque here on this one. But I want to tell you, number four, there was the joy of life-changing, purpose-finding, death-defeating, fear-decimating, love-infusing worship here in these verses. Look back at verse 8. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet. And what did they do? What did they do? Look there at the end of verse 9. What did they do? They worshiped him. You see, in these verses 8 and 9, we see a progression. Do you see the progression? They left with fear. And then they experienced joy as these truths began to saturate their hearts and their minds. Their fear became joy, great joy, which then led them to bow down and worship the living Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus means that you can experience joy and worship Jesus Christ today. And notice this. Their fear, which then led to great joy, which then led to worshiping of Jesus, led to their witness for Jesus. You see that in verse 10. Jesus says, as these two ladies are hugging his legs down, bowing before him and hugging his legs, then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid." It's fear decimating, folks. The truth of the resurrection, as I said here, it's life-changing, purpose-finding, death-defeating, fear-decimating, but love-infusing worship. And so what we see is their fear became great joy, which then led them to worship Jesus. They were setting their minds' attention and their hearts' affection upon Him, and they were exhilarated in praising Him. He is not really dead. He is alive, and that has ramifications for them. So their fear became joy, which then led to worship, which then, verse 10, led them to witness. They were to go and tell his disciples, "Hey, you fellas better pack it up quickly and get to Galilee, because the risen Jesus is going to meet you there." Fear. Joy. Worship, witness. This is the pattern we see in this text. There's the joy of life-changing, purpose-finding, death-defeating, fear-decimating, love-infusing worship that you and I were created to experience. You see, worshiping at the feet of Jesus was the greatest moment of these women's lives to that day. The greatest moment of your life will be when you, by grace through faith, take hold of the feet of Jesus and find out that He is the reason you exist. And He is the answer to your sins. And He is the one who overcomes your misery. And He is the one who rescues you from sin, death, and hell. The greatest moment in any person's life is when they repent of their sin and trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. In verse 10, Jesus told the women, "Do not be afraid." And I would say to you today, do not be afraid to turn from your sin. Do not be afraid to place your faith in Jesus Christ today. Do not be afraid to live for something or someone greater than yourself. Do not be afraid to believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord and the Savior. So you say, well, Pastor Jay, what do I do? What do I do? The Bible says that you confess your sin. You turn from your sin. You believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So this Easter morning, as we conclude the message part, segment of our worship experience today, on this Easter Sunday, when our churches around the world are literally overflowing with people who come for whatever reason they have, but they come at Easter. It's the most attended church service of the year around the world is Easter Sunday. Yet this year, everything's different. God is getting our attention. God has shaken the way we've always done it up, hasn't He? Things are changed. So this morning, will you search your heart? Will you look for evidences of the fruit of salvation in your life? And as I conclude this morning's Easter message, may I lead us in prayer one more time. Now, Father in heaven, we thank You for this day of worship, this Easter Sunday worship experience. And Father, how we praise You for sending Your only Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to die for sinners. Father, this is good news. Father, this is good news. Father, the Easter teaches us that the resurrection is Your amen to the Son's, "It is finished." Our sin debt has been paid in full. All the righteous wrath of God against our sin has been fully absorbed by Jesus Christ as He died in pain and agony on the cross for all of those who are going to believe in Him throughout all of human history. Father, I pray that today we would hear, that we will respond, that we will understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel, the good news, that the just and gracious God of the universe looked upon hopelessly sinful people. And He still sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, to bear His wrath against our sin on the cross and to show His power over sin by resurrecting Jesus from the dead, so that everyone who repents, that is, turns from their sin, and who believes, that is, trust in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, will be reconciled, Father, to You for all eternity. They can be forgiven, declared righteous, and adopted into Your family. Oh, Father, I pray this Easter many, many will find the true meaning of life in and through the person and work of Jesus Christ. Thank You, God. Thank You for the privilege to preach Your word. Lord, I pray that You would use this music and the prayers and the preaching of Your word. I pray, Father, that you will be glorified in and through all of it. I pray, God, that men, women, and young people would be saved. And I pray, Father, that your children, Christians, will be encouraged and strengthened like never before. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Well, as we conclude the sermon component of our service today, I want to thank you again for spending time with us here at Crawford Baptist Church to worship through song, through prayer, through the preaching of God's Word. If you have any questions, you can feel free to call our church office. You can email our church with questions about the message. If you are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you need more information about how to live the Christian life, if you need information or for one of our four pastors here at Crawford Baptist Church to talk with you about the gospel and share scripture with you and help guide you through scripture. You know, faith comes through hearing and hearing through the word of Christ, Romans 10:17. And so if you have any concerns for your soul or any questions about this message or others or something about Christianity, please feel free to reach out to our church by phoning our office and leaving a message or emailing Crawford Baptist Church, and we'll be happy to respond to you as quickly as is possible. So thank you for listening today and worshiping, I pray, with us today as we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I also want to thank you, Crawford Faith family members, for being so faithful to pray for us during this time and to pray for one another during this time and to minister in love to one another during this time. I want to thank you so much for being faithful in your giving of your tithes and offerings to support the ongoing work of this local church. You've been so faithful, and we are so thankful. Let me just simply quickly remind you of the ways that you can continue to give your tithe and offering to the Lord through the ministry of Crawford Baptist Church. You can always mail your offering to our church office here at Crawford Baptist Church, 3000 Sun Valley Drive, Mobile, Alabama, 36618. There's also a way you can drop off your check through a slit in our door there in the south door of the Christian Life Center. There's a little compartment there and a little container. You can drop in your check offerings there. Many of you have been doing that, and we're grateful and appreciative of that. Many of you have mailed in your tithes, offerings, building fund gifts, mission gifts. We thank you for that. And many others have picked up online giving, and we're very grateful for you learning to give online to support the ministries of the Lord Jesus through your local church. And so thank you for these things. Now, some have been asking, Pastor Jay, it's Annie Armstrong season. This is when we always give to support our nearly 5,000 North American missionaries planting churches here in North America. And it's Annie Armstrong season. When you are ready and able and can financially give to the Annie Armstrong Easter offering for North American missions, we want to encourage you to do so. I know my family, we plan to do that within the next week. We'll collect this offering for another month or so. Some have already actually sent in checks for Annie Armstrong. Thank you for remembering that. And this is our first mention of it here during this season of pandemic, but it is nevertheless an essential offering. There are North American home missionaries who depend upon this offering from the Southern Baptist churches around our nation to be able to survive, not just thrive, but to survive. That offering supplies many of their immediate needs. And so I want to encourage you to prayerfully give to your local church, and then as you're enabled by God's grace to give that Annie Armstrong Easter offering for North American missions, to have that check and just be sure to put that on the memo line, and we'll make sure that goes to support our Annie Armstrong missionaries as Southern Baptists. But again, thank you for tuning in today. May God richly bless you, and I look forward to be able to bring God's word to you again soon. God bless you. Happy Easter. He is risen. Amen.